From the KTOO newsroom, I'm Yvonne Krumrie with the news. More people went missing in Juneau last year than any year since 2016. And some families say they had a hard time figuring out which law enforcement agencies to turn to for help. As KTOO's Lindsay Brolini reports, a new community group is stepping in to help people figure out what to do when their loved one goes missing.
Last year, Kirsten Farnsworth's little brother Doug went missing in Juneau. She says his social media went dark and she immediately knew something was wrong. But she lived in Arizona, so she had to call attention to the case from several states away. Farnsworth said she emailed Juneau Police Department several times to post on social media that he was missing. After the third email, Juneau Police posted that he was missing on their Facebook page and assigned a detective to the case.
If you don't know how to verbalize and call and be aggressive like that, then it's really easy to be overlooked or not informed.
After that, someone found the truck Farnsworth's brother was driving around in a wooded area near town. So the Coast Guard, Alaska State Troopers, Juneau Police, and a local search dog group, Sea Dogs, went looking for him there. But they didn't find him. And that ground search didn't happen until a few days after Farnsworth reported her brother missing. And there's a short window of time when dogs will be able to pick up a scent. After that, it's harder to track. This is part of the reason why Farnsworth wishes her brother's missing persons case was acted on right away.
Time is complete essence. Like, you have to immediately get smells, immediately get videotapes, immediately get everything. Because tapes get lost, things get recorded over, and smells go away.
After the active search was called off, she says it fell to her to keep the search going. She went knocking on doors, asked people for security camera footage, reached out to her tribe, Tlingit and Haida, and organized a vigil for him. She also created a Facebook group to help find her brother. It was a place for people to share where they have searched and organize search parties for him. She flew to Juneau to search for him, but eventually had to go back to Arizona, so Facebook was crucial for her to keep people searching for him.
So without the community and without Facebook, we wouldn't have anything going for us.
It's an experience that Preston Nelson lived through, too. His grandmother, Geraldine Nelson, was the first person to go missing last year. He says he and his family used Juneau Community Collective, a large community Facebook group, to post search updates and ask for help finding her. After the search for his grandmother was over, Nelson started asking questions about how the community is alerted when someone goes missing. And like Farnsworth, Nelson also has questions about who is responsible for finding them.
One thing has been bothering me about all these people that go missing is they gave up after a couple of days. And a question I've been asking myself for a few weeks now is, why did they spend 5 days looking for my grandmother? They searched in multiple different spots the first few days, but they kept searching.
He says he didn't see that same level of effort in other missing persons cases last year.
Why did they give up on these other cases?
The answer to those questions about who gets searched for and when are complicated. Under state law, Alaska State Troopers are supposed to lead search and rescue efforts. Trooper Search and Rescue Lieutenant Paul Fussy says they factor in things like weather, geography, what kind of gear they have, and the experience of the searchers themselves when they're deciding when and how to search for someone who is missing. There isn't a standard length of time for a search, either. Each search is different. When a person isn't found during an active search and rescue operation, troopers turn the case over to Juneau Police. Juneau Police Lieutenant Craig Campbell says local police don't help with ground searches in the woods because they aren't trained for that kind of search and rescue. But he says they will search for missing people in neighborhoods and do other investigative things like looking at phone records and interviewing people. And he says Juneau Police will also post a missing person on its Facebook page, but not right away.
So there's kind of a balance that we put in there to try to make some reasonable attempts to locate the person first.
And while police will investigate a missing persons case, Campbell says they don't organize search parties. That means that some of that searching falls on the family once the initial search is called off. And Campbell says he doesn't know of any resources to help families with that.
But if there was a group, like maybe a nonprofit group that was through donations and community volunteers that would step in and help with searches and organizing, but that might be something that's very beneficial.
Kirsten Farnsworth says there needs to be more resources for family and friends of a missing person. She says that maybe some of those resources could be included in the packet people fill out when reporting a missing person to the police. or it could be its own guide entirely.
And then maybe possibly start offering a support group at this point, because there's a lot of people missing there for how small we are.
After her brother was found, Farnsworth converted the Facebook group she created to help find other missing people in Juneau. It's her way of trying to help other families of missing people in the community. In Juneau, I'm Lindsay Brolini.
As mayor of the city and borough of Juneau, Beth Weldon attends a lot of meetings. Sometimes it's with policymakers, other times it's foreign consulates or members of the public. But as KTOO's Bridget Dowd reports, last week, Meldon met with some much younger Juneau residents.
Juneau City Hall was a little busier than usual on Friday, as second graders from Harborview Elementary made their way in from the snow, following instructions from their teacher, Diana and Taya.
Who else is listening? The city of what?
Juneau!
This is our city building.
Antea says the kids made the field trip because they've been learning a lot about cities.
We look at cities as residences, government buildings, open spaces, and businesses.
Her students have also visited Frenchie's Floral Studio as an example of a business.
Coming to City Hall is very empowering, even for young children. They get the sense of the importance of working together to make something great like Juneau.
The class filed into Juneau's assembly chambers, where they met Mayor Beth Weldon.
And you can see all of our names of our assembly members. That's one of the things I like to ask the adults, if they can name all the assembly members, and most of the time they can't.
Weldon began by telling the second graders a little bit about what assembly members do and explained her role as their executive officer.
My job is to try and keep them in line, probably like your teacher in your classroom. Sometimes she does a good job keeping you guys in line, and sometimes it's a little hard for you wiggle worms to hold still and do what you're told. So very similar to the assembly.
She went on to tell the class about some of the things that make Juneau a unique city, like the fact that it owns an airport and a ski resort. A few students had the chance to ask Weldon a question. Some questions were simple.
Do you like being the mayor?
Most of the time. Not all the time, as you might know, but most of the time. COVID has been a bit of a challenge for all of us. But it's really fun getting to meet lots of new people like you guys and to try and find laws that help people.
And other students had more complex questions.
How do you keep the landfill from filling up?
Well, this is going to be an interesting question. We're not. The landfill will just keep getting more giant and giant until it hits by regulation, it can only go so high. We're trying to figure out ways to make that smaller, or else we're going to have to ship it out of town.
To end their visit, the second graders had an opportunity to sit in assembly member chairs and take part in a mock vote. They were asked to decide whether or not roosters should be allowed in neighborhoods.
And people in the audience, can you remind me what roosters sound like? Will it louder, please? Oh, yes.
Okay, and so we're just going to start from this end and work down. You get to talk once. You don't have to say how you're going to vote. You can just say your thoughts on that.
Willem Kester sat in Assemblymember Carol Treem's chair and gave his opinion on the rooster issue.
I think no, because they can nip at you, and that sometimes hurts.
His mom, Juneau Public Works Director Katie Kester, also dropped by for a visit, and Mayor Weldon told the class a little bit about her job. That part stuck out most to Willem.
They call my mom, instead of Katie Kester, Director Kester, which is kind of weird.
Oh, and if you're wondering where the young assembly members landed on the rooster ordinance, the motion failed 7-2. In Juneau, I'm Bridget Dowd.
In other local news, Juneau officials have officially renamed a piece of waterfront property, Perachovich Plaza, after an Alaskan Native civil rights leader. The property is along Juneau's Seawalk and sits in front of a three-story mural of Elizabeth Perachovich. The naming is a nod to Perachovich's contributions to Alaska and a practical thing to help people get around Juneau's waterfront. Officials officially referred to it by its legal description, which was not widely known. The Juneau Assembly also authorized Bartlett Regional Hospital to sell $20 million in bonds for new infrastructure. The money will go toward building a crisis stabilization center and renovating the emergency department. The debt will be repaid over 20 years with hospital revenue. This is KTOO. I'm Yvonne Kremry. For more stories like these, you can visit us at our website at kto.org. ktoo.org.
Thank you.